We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com. Psalm 46 says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And it's a beautiful Thursday morning in Texarkana. Debbie and I are fresh from our trip to Glen Rose, Texas at the Riverbend Retreat Center, where we were with Bert and Jan Harper for the Fishbowl Retreat for pastors. And we had 24 pastors and their wives there for a wonderful time together. And so we spoke on Tuesday night, spoke about sexual intimacy and marriage. And then on Wednesday morning, we spoke about balancing marriage and ministry. And then we got back to church late yesterday afternoon. Debbie had to teach a class, and praise the Lord, I had a guest preacher in for me because I wouldn't have had enough time to prepare. But a wonderful time. We're going to share about that tomorrow. Debbie has agreed to be with me tomorrow in the studio, and so she's got a lot going on. But we're going to have a wonderful time kind of unpacking that. And so if you are in the ministry and you struggle in marriage, because, hey, marriage is a struggle for everyone. I don't care if you're a pastor or not. It is a challenge. It's a wonderful thing, but the devil attacks in the home, and he wants to destroy marriages, especially marriages from those in the ministry, because that is our testimony to the church and to the world. A primary testimony is this is what it means to come together in the Lord and have a godly marriage. Well, today, I want to talk to you about trouble and the fact that God is our refuge and strength, and he's a very present help in trouble. Now, Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good courage, I have overcome the world. Job says, man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward. He says in Job 14:1, man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of trouble, full of turmoil, full of problems. Now, we have individual trouble. Every single person under the sound of my voice, and me included, we have trouble. Now, it might be mild trouble, or it can be major trouble, and trouble is one of those things that fluctuates. You know, everything can be going great one minute, and boom, you get a phone call, and life can change on a dime. Your loved one says, hey, I got in a car accident, or I got a report back from the doctor, and it doesn't look good. As people have told me, in the past, I went to the doctor because I thought I had indigestion, and I was just expecting something very easy to fix that, some medicine or something like that. And they comes back and it says, you have pancreatic cancer. That's a major, major life change. That's major trouble. So whether we have mild trouble or whether we have major trouble, God says he is our refuge and strength, and he's a very present help for us in our trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, we will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge. Because God is our strength. Because God is there to help us in our trouble. And the psalmist in Psalm 46 says, we will not fear, even though the earth should change and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Even though everything gets turned upside down, even though everything feels like it's falling apart, we're not going to fear. You know, when COVID hit and people were so afraid, and you know, when it first came in, I believe it was March of 2020, sometimes those dates start rolling together, but I believe it was March of 2020 when the doctors came to me and said, hey, I think we need to shut down for a while, you know, 2 weeks to slow the spread. And people were afraid. And, you know, when the world is afraid, that's when Christians can really shine, because we can say, hey, we don't fear. Why? Because God is our refuge. Because God is our strength. We can understand the fear. We can understand why you're afraid. But, you know, in times of distress, that's when Christians can really make a difference, because we are people who trust in the Lord with all our hearts, as Jesus told that man, Jairus, who had the daughter who is deathly sick. Do not be afraid. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. You trust me. And that's what the Lord says to you and me. Now, we have individual things that cause trouble in our lives that we need to look to the Lord. But now, as a nation, we have things that cause a lot of trouble. And we are collectively, in America, we are collectively experiencing trouble. Now, we had the Republican debate last night, and perhaps you were watching that, and the different candidates were there. Obviously, Donald Trump, who is way ahead in the polls, he wasn't there, but the other candidates were there, and I watched a portion of it, and it was, you know, they started talking over one another, and my wife can't take that at all. When they start all talking at the same time, it becomes like, you know, you're listening to little kids or something. It's like, hey, let's have some decorum here. But I do think, from the standpoint of leadership and from the standpoint of a track record, I think Ron DeSantis has a good track record, because he's been governor of Florida, and Florida has done really well. They handled the COVID hysteria and the COVID pandemic well. He has handled disasters like hurricanes well. Well, he kind of summed things up about what's going on in America.
Well, the crime in these cities is one of the strongest signs of the decaying of America. We can't be successful as a country if people aren't even safe to live in places like Los Angeles and San Francisco. Just being in Southern California over the last couple of days, my wife and I have met three people who have been mugged on the street. And that would have never happened 10 or 20 years ago. In Florida, we back the blue. We support the men and women of law enforcement. They are keeping us safe. We have a 50-year low in the crime rate. And yes, when I had two progressive prosecutors that weren't following the law in Florida, I removed them from their posts, and the people of Florida are safer as a result of it. As president, I will use the Justice Department to bring civil rights cases against all of those left-wing Soros-funded prosecutors. We're not going to let them get away with it anymore. We want to reverse this country's decline. We need to choose law and order over rioting and disorder.
Now, the other candidates may agree with that, but what I like about DeSantis is he's done it. So he has a track record that says this is what we do in Florida. And you can't argue with that. We have to get to the place where crime is not just running over and cities are not being destroyed by looting and violent crime, and people can walk down the street without being afraid of getting mugged at every turn. And so that's a big issue in America. We open borders, a huge issue in America, where people are just pouring in to Texas and the southern border. You know, the nation can only handle so much of that before it starts to fall apart. But we don't fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Now, we had Bishop E.W. Jackson, who's running for president. We had him on the program several weeks ago, and he is honest enough to say, now, Bishop Jackson is a smart, smart guy, but he said nobody can solve the problems in America. They're far too great for man to solve. We need to look to the Lord. And I think the Lord allows things to come into our lives and into our nation to bring us to the place where we cry out to Him, where we say, Lord, we are in desperate need. We don't know what to do. We need you, and we return to the Lord. Nineveh, The godless, wicked city of Nineveh, which was the capital city of the Assyrians, who were wicked, pagan, cruel people. And, you know, Jonah hated those people. That's why he didn't want to go there. But the Lord said, go to Nineveh and preach. And when he preached, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Well, they heard the news and they responded to the news and they repented and they cried out for mercy. And when God saw how they responded, God didn't destroy them. God is a God who, he does not want to destroy. Ezekiel chapter 18, the Lord says, do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? No, no. Therefore, repent and live. God doesn't want to destroy. He doesn't want to judge. He wants to save. Now, he is the judge, and he is holy, 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 and he will judge. And Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7 tell us that the flood did come on the earth, and only Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham and his wife, Shem and his wife, Japheth and his wife, only those eight people were saved. Not because God is mean and cruel, it's because nobody responded. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached for 100 years, and he pointed people to the ark that he was building, saying, God is going to destroy this world with a flood, but here is your ark of safety. Come with me, and you can be saved. As Peter said in Acts chapter 2, be saved from this present evil age. The ark in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis, that's a picture of Jesus. This world is going to be destroyed, not by water. The Lord promised he wouldn't destroy the world again with a flood, but he didn't say he wasn't going to destroy it. He is going to destroy it, but not with water, this next time with fire. And Jesus is our ark of refuge. He's our ark of safety, and he will save anybody who will come to him in repentance and faith. What are the problems facing us in America? Collectively, we're in trouble with open borders, with drug problems. You know, drug problems destroy lives, and they cause, they proliferate the crime as people get addicted to opioids and other things. The violent crime, the looting, we've seen all the videos, people going into stores, just smash and grab. They come in a big mob and just haul off whatever they want. And our upside down legal system punishes the store owners if they protect their merchandise and lets the criminals go free. I mean, it's so upside down. Woe to those, Isaiah 5, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We have a decimated police force because we vilify the police. And the policemen aren't perfect. And, you know, we watch an armchair quarterback, these videos that we see of how a policeman interacts with somebody who won't comply, who doesn't do what they're asked to do. And we say, oh, that's terrible. Look what he did, or look what this female officer did. Well, listen, you put yourself in that situation. You know, you might have seen the movie Sully, with the Tom Hanks played the pilot who landed the commercial airliner in the Hudson River, and they tried to castigate him as saying, you know, you did wrong and you should have turned back, and we had people in simulators doing this and they made it back and you didn't do it. He said, they're not doing this in real time. He said, you're putting them in simulators and they know exactly what's coming up. And he said, how many times did they have to do it before they got it right? Well, the answer was a number of times before they got it right. He said, we did it in real time. We had to make decisions on the spot. And so I have tremendous respect for our law enforcement officers who put their lives on the line. You know, those guys and those women, they want to go home to their families too. And when they're in danger and it's like, hey, I could lose my life here, they're going to side with their own personal safety, and you would do the same, and I would do the same too. So we have a decimated police force, we have crooked courts, we have a lying government. It's just sickening. Our country is overrun with lies and the love of money. Big pharma are big liars. Big government, big liars. And so what do we do? Well, we go to the Lord. God is our refuge, and God is our strength, and God is our very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. I don't care what happens. We don't have to fear. We just have to trust, and we get to trust. And we say with King Jehoshaphat, Lord, do you not see these enemies are coming against us and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're up against a 3-minute break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, verse 2, we will not fear. Hey, trouble is all around us. And as we said in the first segment, you have individual trouble. You have specific trouble in your life. There's not a person on the planet who doesn't have some kind of trouble, whether it's mild or major or anything in between. We deal with trouble on a daily basis. As Jesus said, in the world, you have tribulation. You have pressures and stresses and troubles, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world, John 16:33. But then we have national trouble, trouble that affects all of us. And we're going through some of these things. I had mentioned about open borders. Open borders just doesn't affect South Texas. It affects all of the United States. Drug problems. And open borders allows for drugs to be carried into the United States very easily. And that's a huge problem. Drugs destroy lives, just destroy lives, destroy families, and breed crime. And crime is a big problem. As I mentioned, the decimated police force because we vilified the blue, and we highlight when someone does something on a police force in some city, when someone does something that is beyond the pale, then we just blast that out, because that's the narrative that the liberal media wants to promote. Hey, police are bad. Defund the police. You defund the police, as some cities are seeing. Austin, Texas, for instance, their police force is so decimated that, they don't come out for things. You know, you're kind of on your own. So you defund the police and you take away people's right to bear arms, as the left wants to do, take away the guns, and people have no way to protect themselves other than a baseball bat, and it just doesn't work very well. You have crooked courts, and we're experiencing that. You have judges that are, they're pro-criminals and slap people on the wrist for crimes that they commit and punish the victims. And then we have the lies from big corporations, especially Big Pharma. Big Pharma are big liars. And the COVID situation and the lies from the government on COVID and the collusion with media to go after people that said anything negative about the COVID vaccine or about the origins of COVID. You know, Trump would always call that the Chinese coronavirus. How dare you? Why do you say that it's the Chinese coronavirus? You're putting Chinese people at risk. Hey, give me a break. It came out of Wuhan, China. That's why he called it the Chinese coronavirus. That's what it was. We need to get back to calling a spade a spade. And I love Peter McCullough. Cardiologist, he was vice chief of internal medicine at Baylor College of Medicine. The left hates him. And if you go do a Google search on Dr. Peter McCullough, Peter A. McCullough, they'll say, well, he was promoting vaccine and COVID disinformation. Well, he has a word for us that we need to be aware of. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. And this is what he says about COVID.
What was President Biden?
Oops, sorry, wrong clip, this one.
We are seeing now a third false narrative. The first false narrative was The virus is unassailable. We have to stay in lockdown and be fearful. The second false narrative is take a vaccine. It's safe and effective. The third false narrative now is it's not the vaccine causing these problems. It's COVID. It's COVID that we saw back in 2020 causing all these problems in 2023. Don't fall for the false narrative. The medical literature at this point in time is compelling. The Bradford Hill criteria for causality have been fulfilled. The vaccines are causing this enormous wave of illness.
So the things that you see about blood clots and myocarditis, that comes from the COVID vaccine. That's not coming from COVID. But you have people on the left who are wanting to push a narrative and wanting to keep people afraid and wanting to keep saying, oh, it's safe, it's effective. The new head of the CDC is talking about giving babies the COVID vaccine because there's been extensive study done now. And as one doctor pointed out, she said, the extensive study, we went from 8 mice to 10 mice. That's the study, this quote-unquote extensive study that the CDC is now promoting and telling everybody, hey, we recommend you get a booster shot. When they're called on the carpet on this, and recently some heads of entities were called on the carpet before Congress, they're just blatantly lying. They're just saying, oh, we never said that. And you say, well, I haven't heard that. Well, listen to this. It was a recent congressional hearing regarding some of these entity heads with mandates.
What was President Biden and OSHA's plan if 84 million Americans refused to comply with the vaccine mandate or show their papers?
That's categorically untrue. We didn't threaten anyone, and we didn't demand that anyone be fired.
Did forcing two-year-olds to wear masks save lives?
And who did the forcing?
Well, your department, or the Head Start, which is under your department, had a mask mandate until late last year for two-year-olds and above, even outdoors. So can you point to any public health benefit of that policy?
Right. We never forced anyone to do anything because we don't have the jurisdiction or authority to do that.
Did you encourage states to adopt student vaccine mandates?
I did not encourage states to adopt student vaccine mandates. Where states...
Excuse me, sir. You said right here, not only do I support it, but I'm encouraging states to come up with a plan to make sure it happens. The title of the article is Education Secretary Backs Mandatory School COVID-19 Mandates. Mr. Parker, you're one of a number now of officials in this administration who has come before this committee and tried to tell us that 2+2 doesn't equal 4. Sitting in the chair that you're in now, the Secretary of Education gave false testimony to this committee, denying that he had promoted a student vaccine mandate when he had done precisely that. Sitting in the chair that you're in now, the Secretary of Health and Human Services made one of the most outlandish statements ever entered into the congressional record, which is saying quite a lot, when he said, we never forced anyone to do anything in relation to the widely discredited policy of forcing young children as young as 2 years old to wear masks. And now you come before us today, asked about one of the most sweeping abuses of power that we've seen that was rebuked by the Supreme Court, and you tell us that we didn't demand that anyone be fired. So has there been some sort of memo going around? Why is the administration insistent on rewriting history?
All you have to do is read that rule and you will see that it is not a vaccine mandate.
The lies from the people that were promoting this stuff just a few years ago and punishing people. If you didn't get vaccinated, you would lose your job. And if you didn't get the booster, you would lose your job. And if you didn't wear a mask, you couldn't come to work. It's just sickening. We are overrun as a nation with lies. And we need to remind ourselves of what the Word of God says concerning lies. There are 6 things which the Lord hates. Yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. This is Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. What are the 7 things that God hates? Number 1, haughty eyes, a proud look. God hates pride. He's opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So, haughty eyes, number 1 on the list. Number 2 on the list, this is the 7 things God hates. Number 2, a lying tongue. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. All the abortion doctors, the abortionists, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. Number five, feet that run rapidly to evil. Number six, a false witness who utters lies. And number seven, one who spreads strife among brothers. So of the seven things God hates, lying is listed twice. He hates it so much. A lying tongue and a false witness who utters lies. Those guys on Capitol Hill, they were false witnesses who were uttering lies. The head of the CDC, a false witness who utters lies. And she's not the only one. The person before her did the exact same thing. They're pushing a narrative and they're telling us lies. We need to be shrewd as serpents, as Jesus said, and innocent as doves. And we don't need to just fall hook, line, and sinker. If the government says something, the CDC said. The CDC, they lie. And so be very, very careful when you just believe what they say. Well, Joe Biden said. Joe Biden is a serial liar. I mean, that's documented. He's been lying for decades on stuff that you can easily fact check him on. Oh, I was at the top of my class and I got all these degrees and they called me to be, you know, the grand poobah of whatever club or what, you know, he just makes stuff up on the fly. And so once you start down the road of lies, here's the problem. Debbie and I said this to our girls when they were growing up. Listen, the worst thing you can do is lie to us, because once you start lying to us, then we can't trust you anymore. And we live in a world and in a nation where a man's word is not his bond, and people lie, they lie like a rug, and they don't think twice about it. But God hates lying, and Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 lists all the people who will be in hell. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It is critical that we speak the truth in love, and it's critical that we know the word of God and that we listen to what people say, but we do our homework. The naive, the word of God says, the naive believes everything. You can't just believe what, well, the government says this. I have a family member whom I love dearly in my extended family. He just said, well, I just think the government is there to help us, so I can trust the government. If they tell me to take a shot, I'm going to take a shot. And it's just like, that's a extremely naive position. Bill Gates and company have blatantly said there are too many people on the planet. They want to reduce the population. Well, how do you do that? Well, let's make them take a shot that will cause problems down the road. And that is one way to do that. Now, they're coming up with I saw just on the news about there's a new bacteria or disease or virus that's coming out. They're calling it X, I think, something like that. It's basically COVID too. It says it's 20 times worse than COVID. It's like the Ebola virus. Get ready, because this is coming, and trying to get everybody afraid. Oh no. But good news, Big Pharma's coming up with a shot to help us against this this unnamed virus that's coming, that is going to be the baddest thing that you've ever seen, badder than Leroy Brown. Listen, when the COVID hysteria hits again, and whether it's COVID 2.0 or some new variant or some other virus, don't believe that lie. I like what Governor Sarah Sanders says. She's the governor of Arkansas. She said, in Arkansas, no COVID shutdowns, no vaccine mandates, no mask mandates. We're just not going to play. And we need more and more governors and more states to say, I don't care, we're not going to do that, because that has proven to be ridiculous. It doesn't help anything. It just turns people into sheeple. And those that go along with that are not thinking critically. They're not thinking honestly. They're not using their brain. And doctors, more than anything, need to be critical thinkers and say, wait a minute, is this really a good thing for my patient? If Big Pharma says do it, that should be a huge red flag. This is, wait a minute, they just want to sell drugs. They want to make money. They have been given over. And obviously, I'm just using that in general. I don't know everybody that works for Big Pharma, but in general, those guys are wanting the love of money. They want money. And, you know, whether this works or not is almost superfluous. Selling the drug is critical. And if you question that, do a little research into the Sackler family, the company, Purdue Pharma, that came up with OxyContin, and you'll see how they kept pushing and pushing and pushing on that drug, and sales and sales and sales, and they would buy off the FDA to get their approval, and they had a drug, OxyContin, that destroyed a million lives. And did they care? No. They paid $6 billion in fines, but the drug made $13 billion. So, hey, if you can do something where you're going to end up with a net of billions of dollars and all you care about is money, yeah, go ahead. I don't care if it destroys lives. We live in an upside-down world, and there are lots of things that could cause us to fear. But as Christians, we know that God is our refuge and God is our strength. And he's a very present help. He's abundantly available for help when we're in trouble. Therefore, we do not fear. But what we do as Christians living in this world for such a time as this, we pray and we stand in the gap and we speak the truth in love to a lost and dying world. And as Noah pointed to the ark, we point to Jesus, who is our ark of safety. And we say, Jesus, we'll save you. Jesus is the only ark of safety. This world is going down. It's going to be destroyed by fire, and you are going to be in Christ or in trouble. You're going to be found in him, or you're going to be found outside and with no recourse except the wrath of God. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back. According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% of women reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had financial security. And that's where preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Well, preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chances at life. When you support preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a baby. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, B-A-B-Y, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. And we are talking about Psalm 46. We're talking about trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Hey, there's lots of things, if you get your eyes off the Lord, lots of things to fear in our world, but we don't have to fear because we have a Savior who loves us, who ever lives to make intercession for those who are sanctified. And he has told us to keep our eyes fixed on him, the author and perfecter of faith. And as we do, and as we run into him, the shelter, he's a shelter from danger. That's what the word refuge is. God is our refuge, a shelter from danger, from the storm. And he is a very present help. When the Lord brings the help, As the scripture says in Romans 8, if God is for us, who is against us? But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And no matter what we face in life, we don't have to be afraid. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we're talking about all the things that are facing us in America with open borders and drug problems and violent crime and decimated police forces and crooked courts and COVID 2.0 on the horizon and the lies from government and big pharma and government entities and the love of money that just is destroying everything. As the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. And we have seen that just like opening Pandora's box in our country as the love of money takes over. And so the number to call is 888-589-8840. And if you would want to connect with me and maybe you say, well, I was wanting to call in, but I just can't, I'm at work or not able to call, you can always connect with me, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org, or connect on Twitter, at Jeff Shreve, S-C-H-R-E-V-E, J-E-F-F, S-C-H-R-E-V-E. Love to connect with you there. Well, we have Mary on the line from North Carolina. Mary, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you to you because it's so refreshing to hear a pastor speak the truth about the agenda of COVID and the lies and the fear tactics that the enemy wants to put on people. It is very refreshing to listen to someone else see that and to speak the truth about the lies.
Oh, well, thank you, Mary. I appreciate that. You know, that's not, I'm not everybody's favorite guy. I recognize that. And, you know, probably make some people cringe. But, you know, I want to be honest and I want to, say, listen, if you're trusting the government has proven to be dishonest, and they're not telling us things. And as more and more comes out, especially about COVID and the COVID vaccine, you know, all the lies we heard before, anytime you have big media shutting down opposing viewpoints, just know, okay, well, there's a problem there. And when they start making it hard to get certain drugs, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, okay, there's a problem there because they're being pushed in a direction. You know, the devil, ultimately the devil, the Lord's allowing the devil to do this. The whole world, 1 John chapter 5, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And that literally is like a mother cradling her baby. And the devil, by God's design, and he's allowing him to do this, just like he allowed him to get at Job, the devil is pushing things into a particular direction for a one-world government and a one-world leader who is known as the Antichrist, the Beast. And that is the direction it is going. But it's all under God's supervision. The Lord knows what's taking place. And as one preacher once said, the devil, the Lord uses the devil as his messenger boy. And everything is going to culminate just the way God says in his word in the book of Revelation. So I appreciate that, Mary. You've encouraged my heart today. And so thanks for listening and thanks for calling in. We have Jacqueline on the line from Mississippi. Jacqueline, thank you for calling today.
Thank you, Pastor, for going that extra mile to help us come out of the darkness into that marvelous light. My question is the Holy Spirit, and some people say Holy Ghost, but he warned us. And in Revelation, when all this started with the COVID, I prayed and asked him, should I take it? And I didn't take it. So my question is, does the Holy Spirit warns his believers, his children, on what to do? And should we always consult him first? And I'll let you expound.
Yes, great question. And the answer is an emphatic yes. We need to take everything to the Lord. And he doesn't need to be our last stop on the road to help. He needs to be our first our first stop, our first resort. Hey, Lord, here's what's going on. Give me wisdom. So James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so I think when we are confronted with some things like this, and we talk to our doctor, and, you know, good people, good and godly people, can believe wrong things about stuff, especially as it relates to medical. I think everybody at the first, we believed that this was the right thing to do, to shut down, to distance, stay away from people and to wear a mask and all. And then finally you started asking yourself, wait a minute, what's the science behind this? How does this work? And, you know, study after study after study has shown that masks do nothing. They do absolutely nothing. Masks are COVID theater, but masks can harm you as you keep breathing in your exhale and all the gunk that builds up in those. And so that's ridiculous. And making everybody on an airplane put on a mask except when they're eating and take it off, that's just so stupid to me. And so it's like, come on, this is just ridiculous. And so when guys go out in space, the astronauts go out in space, well, they know they have to have a big helmet on that's airtight, and they have their oxygen tanks because you can't be down, you can't be in space because there's no oxygen. Well, that makes sense. You go deep sea diving, you have to have an oxygen tank. Why? Because you're going to drown if you don't. And so those things make sense. But to wear a cloth mask, that makes absolutely no sense. And so we have to be, as the scripture says, as Jesus said, be shrewd as serpents, but innocent as doves. And so, yes, we seek the Lord and we seek godly counsel, and then we make a decision based on that. And maybe for some, they said, this is my best decision. And so we say, okay, I don't fault anybody if they said they wanted to take the vaccine. But I think after people are learning now, it's like, well, how many shots do you have to get? I mean, what are people on their sixth, seventh, eighth booster? I mean, this is ridiculous. This isn't a vaccine. This is some kind of a quote unquote flu shot that you have to keep taking every few months. And what kind of damage is it doing? And so I've become very leery of all medicines now, and just saying, I don't know if you take this for one thing, but what are the consequences of that? You know, the Ozempic is a big drug, a big shot that people are taking now to lose weight. But there are consequences with that. There are, side effects from that. And so do you lose weight? Yeah, but what else might happen? Well, you might get pancreatitis. That is an awful situation. And so better to, you got to put all that in the hopper and weigh those things and ask the Lord to, Lord, give me wisdom, because I don't know, and I want to do what you want me to do. And so guide me in this, because the Holy Spirit is our guide. So I appreciate the question, and I appreciate you calling in today. Anything else on that, Jacqueline?
The only other thing I want to say is, living the truth, because we do not have enough men of God, and I pray that we will be willing to die for the truth. So I cannot express that enough as your sister in Christ. Thank you for sounding the trumpet and to let us know with an outcry, go to God first. Continue Amen. To be a blessing. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate that so much. Well, we have Mary on the line from Montana. Is that right, Mary?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I appreciate your program. I appreciate the way you give it out to the people. And we need to have more of that clear thinking, especially covering Proverbs 6. What I suggest, and quote me if this is possible, is lie detector tests mandated for everybody in Washington or government of any kind, and even the people that have just left government. Once a month, they ought to have that. And have it televised so we could see that. Could you comment on that, please?
Well, I would love that. Those guys would never agree to that. It's just so sad that in America, people are just, by and large, or across the board, in politics so much, they're just dishonest. They just say whatever they think people want to hear. And, you know, Joe Biden has just, he's just trafficked in lies, that he just says things that are easily fact-checkable and that show that, well, that's not true. What you're saying is just not true. And so, as I mentioned, you know, if you lie about one thing, then how do I know I can trust you on anything you say? Because you've already proven to me that you don't have any qualms about lying. You know, I've often said this. I have enough things that I struggle with, enough, you know, bad habits from the flesh that I fight. Lying doesn't need to be included in that, because lying is not like lust. It's not like overeating, gluttony. It's not like some of those other sins of the flesh. It's not like anger. When you lie, you know what you're doing. And, you know, it's a crossroads. Okay, this person caught me, and I either tell them the truth or I say a lie. It really shows that you don't have any courage, any backbone to stand up and say, okay, here is the truth. And, you know, nobody, you know, you might have a problem, let's say, with lust, and you're like, I don't want to do this, but there's an internal push that look at this or look at her, or, you know, and you're many guys that battle lust. Nobody wakes up and says, oh, I haven't lied today. I just desperately need to lie. It's just within me. I'm gonna call the operator and lie to her. Nobody has that. So we get put in a situation where you either tell the truth or tell a lie, and pride gets involved and fear gets involved, and we just cover up, and we need to stand up and speak the truth in love. And especially pastors in the pulpit, we need to tell people the truth, because as Paul told Timothy, in the last days, difficult times will come, and you're going to have people that want to have their ears tickled. They're turn aside from the truth and turn aside to myths. And we desperately need to stand up boldly and speak the truth and say, thus says the Lord. And I'm not ashamed of the testimony of Jesus. I preached that last Sunday from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul told Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus, and don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner, who is suffering for Christ. We have a lot of pastors who are ashamed of the Lord. They're ashamed of the fact that God is judge. They're ashamed of the fact that that God has moral standards, and God has made it very clear that sexual immorality is wrong, whether it's fornication, whether it's adultery, whether it's homosexuality. And God has made it very clear that he has created us male or female. And so we don't enter into the lunacy of gender dysphoria. Now, people can have problems with that, and we love them, but we love them enough to tell them the truth. And the basic truth is, hey, what are your chromosomes? If they're XX, you are a female. Anything else you entertain is a lie. If you're XY, you're a male. Anything else you entertain is a lie. If you carve yourself up like a pumpkin, that's not going to change your chromosomal makeup. It's not going to change who you are, because God created you. God chooses your sex, your gender. You don't do that. And if you want to live a miserable life, then fight God on something so basic as that. If you want to live a life of blessing, then receive that from the Lord, accept that from the Lord, and say, all right, Lord, I'm struggling with this, but I believe that you don't make mistakes. And so, as Johnny Erickson Tata once said, when she was battling with the fact that, hey, I'm a quadriplegic in a wheelchair, I want to die, she said, God, if I can't die, then show me how to live. And for all those who are struggling in that area, you just yield to the Lord and say, Lord, okay, I may not understand this, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to lift my hands to your commandments, which I love. I'm going to surrender to you, to your word, to your will, to your ways. And you will find God's blessings in that. So, Mary, thank you so much for calling. And thank you for all our callers. And thank you for joining me every morning on Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. And you can listen to From His Heart every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.